all my ancient twisted karma from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born of my body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. All my ancient twisted karma from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born of my body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. All my ancient twisted karma from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born of my body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow.
Thank you, Andrew. 1, 1, 1. The lamps are different, but the light is the same. I wanted to start out with the vow of formless atonement because I feel like all white people, even though I can't speak for all white people, need to confess and need to turn around, need to repent, need to do something different. I need to confess my own wrongdoing, my own complicity with the systemic oppression of Black, Indigenous people of color, queer, transgender, and marginalized people. That is to say, all people that are not white heterosexual men. Even though I am a transgender man, I have the internalized homophobia, transphobia, and racism. No doubt, this contributed me to not coming out as transgender until I was almost 60 years old. I grew up in a very racist family in Texas, where white men were venerated and everyone else counted a little less the further they got from those most entitled. A. Hay Dogan, the founder of Soto Zen Buddhist sect, wrote about how the seeker can see all of life as a vehicle for opening and awakening. In his fascicle, and a fascicle is just a word that means a piece of writing. It's a piece of writing that comes most often from the Shobo Genzo, which is a collection of kind of the most famous writings of Dogen. And yeah, the one that we're referring to is called On the One Bright Pearl. In the beginning of it starts just like the story I told when I was describing what was in the Wonder Box. We can look at this fascicle and see that the current chaos created by the coronavirus, this awareness of racism, political unrest, it's a pathway to growth and a deeper connection to ourselves, each other, and to life itself. Wow. How can that be? Have you ever been walking along and you're just going along and you trip on the sidewalk? What's the first thing you do? The first thing I do is I look around and see if anybody was watching me, right? And then I want to blame the sidewalk. I want to blame the maintenance person. I want to blame the city for not fixing it. I want to blame anybody I can think of. But if I think about it, if I had really been present to what was really here at the moment and responding appropriately, just like if I had really been present to the systemic racism that's been here my whole life and before, I would have probably taken different actions. So if I had been present walking down the road, I would have noticed the bump and I wouldn't have tripped. Just like Genza Shibi, when I stub my toe, it bleeds and it hurts. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by the way that I've been complicit in this white supremacy. Robin, I can't think of her name. It's in the book, White Fragility. She talks about how we don't think of ourselves as, we don't wear white hoods and run around. So I can't be racist. It's embarrassing to see that these systems of oppression are still here when I think they shouldn't be, or because it doesn't affect me directly very much, I don't notice it that much. When I see the horrific cruelty and racism in our society, it was brought to light by the very public execution of George Floyd. The first thing I want to do is blame politicians or the police force or someone else besides myself. I didn't put these systems into place, but I have done very little to change them. I've done a little work to educate myself. So I've read a couple of books. I've done a few trainings with Celebrate Diversity. I've tried to, you know, I've tried to do a little bit, but not so much. Mostly I've been frozen. I've been frozen by the enormity of the problem. I wear my little Black Lives Matter face mask, but I kind of don't know what to do. I'm saying so now to clarify my intention to work to change the systemic racism rampant in our world. So I can look to see what I'm doing on three levels. I can look interpersonally inside myself. I can look interpersonally with how I am with other people. And I can look societally, like in the wider world. I can educate myself, and I am doing that. I can start by acknowledging that I have a lot to learn, but I am learning. I'm looking deeply at the messages I received as a kid and unlearning them. It's not the first time that I have unlearned historical messages. But then I notice, how do I feel around Black people, people of color, queer people, transgender people? Can I work with my own discomfort, discover what's going on, and what fear-based messages can I counteract with new information, or certainly a new intention? How many people are my friends that might be considered marginalized? Finally, what groups am I involved in that will support real change? Change in our laws. Am I supporting politicians that I believe in? What else can I do? What else can you do? Just because the job is big does not mean that I should do nothing. Early on in my recovery, so I got sober in 1982. So early on in my recovery from addiction to alcohol, someone said, well, how do you eat an elephant? The answer is one bite at a time. So this one bright pearl is all that I'm facing. It's the place where I can see everything in my life, especially the places that are uncomfortable, as an opportunity to practice loving kindness in action. Am I recognizing internalized racism, internalized homophobia, internalized any kind of other phobia as a place where I can choose over and over and over again to love rather than hate? I want to bring together rather than split apart. I take responsibility for my part in maintaining systemic racism. And I vow to dismantle it internally and externally. I encourage you to find real ways to do the same, so that our intentions and our actions can go together. As Dottie Matthews would say, may it be so.